All right. Had to turn the fan on. It's hotter than Dutch love up here. When Brian first asked me to preach today, I had thought, after the initial wave of terror subsided, I thought, well, I'm going to preach about the love of God. So I started studying about the love of God, and man, it's on every page in that book. And I got overwhelmed. I felt, I mentally and emotionally, I was somewhere between the Swedish Chef and Beaker, you know, on the Muppets. man, this is overwhelming. So I narrowed it down to Paul's first prayer in Ephesians. Okay, so we'll say a prayer and we'll have at it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you for your Spirit that lives in us, that enlightens us to your word so we can know the things freely given to us and we can know the future that we have in you. In Christ's name, amen. So, let's see here. Ephesians 1, verse 17. Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now these people that he's talking to, were they saved? Did they need the Spirit? Romans 8:9 says, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So what's Paul doing here? And we can see from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, he says, in whom ye also trusted. So they already trusted Christ, okay? In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of all the saints. So they were already saved, but he's still praying that they had the Spirit of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Go there a minute. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man is the lost man. The natural man is the man that's unsaved, one has not come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ yet. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I remember before I was saved, people would give me books and stuff, you know, about on Genesis, because I had questions about all that stuff, and I had a lot of doubts in my mind about if the Bible was true or not. But you know what? The day that I believed the gospel, the Holy Spirit came into my heart, and I believed every word in that book. Did I understand every word in that book? Nope. Do I now? Nope. But I have a fuller understanding what I did 38 years ago, however long it was. So the natural man don't get it. You know, the natural man don't understand it. So how does, if that's true, how does a lost person, I'm just going to take a little rabbit trail here, hopefully it's not too long. How does a lost person, if he can't understand the things of the Spirit, how does he get saved? Go to, let's see, Ephesians 2 verse 1. Go back to Ephesians a minute. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So there we see again, we were by nature. That's our natural state, the natural state of a man walking on this earth that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, is that he's lost and that he doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. Titus 3, verse 3. Real quick. We're going to be going on. I hope you brought your Bibles today because we're going all over the place. I know everybody here does. So. Titus 3, 3, for we ourselves were also, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, old man, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That describes us before we knew the Lord, you know, and that's where we were at. Verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Wow. So the death there, back in Ephesians 2 verse 1, we were all dead. That's a spiritual death. There's five different kinds of deaths in the Bible. It's a death of the separation. But the death he's talking about here of a lost man is spiritually separated from God. Don't want to die in that state, believe you me. So how does an ignorant, alienated, darkened, blinded, lost, deceived man come to know Jesus? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's that? Satan. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So that light, in that same chapter, it says, let's see, verse 6. Let's do 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So in the beginning, God made man out of what? Out of dirt. So basically, we're all dirt bags, right? And God chooses to use dirt bags to give out his message. It's that treasure of God's love in us. He uses us for that. So we go to the lost people, and we don't dump the whole enchilada on them at once. You know, we don't start telling them, Paul's our apostle, we're to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, you know, and God has two different programs. They're going to look at you like you're nuts, you know. I tried that even before I understood how to work all that. We preach Christ crucified, Paul says. 1 Corinthians 18, back a couple pages. No, let's see. First, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. So there's this power of God. Where is it? It's in the preaching of the cross. When we preach the cross to people, there's a light that shines into their darkened soul. And they have the opportunity to believe. And when we shine that light, we got to make it clear that it's none of us. It's all of Christ. He did it all. You know, we start pointing to ourselves or you know, what the flesh can do or what religion can do. You've made that gospel void. You preach Christ in his pureness. Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The good news of Jesus Christ, that's the power of God. That's what opens up the lost man's eyes. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we have opportunities to share the gospel with people, to open their eyes. And that's the light that opens up a lost man's eyes. That's the light that opened up my eyes. I think the first time I really heard the gospel, I believed it. I went to a church that mixed up law and grace. We would sit in church on Sunday mornings and they would recite the law. And everybody, like the Israelites of old, said, all these things we will do, you know. And I never really understood that it was Christ. It was Christ, Christ, Christ. Everything that he did. And it all wrapped up in him. And when I first heard that, I was at a low point in my life, so I was ready. I was ready. I heard it. I go, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. And I trusted Christ, and he came to live in me. And he gave me a hunger. He gave me a hunger for his word. He gave me a hunger for his word. That to me is a supernatural event. They say, some say, well, God's not intervening today. Yeah, he is. He's intervening in the lives of believers. You know, he's intervening by having someone come up to you and shine in that light of the gospel of the glory of God. He's doing all those things. He's working through the body of Christ. He's a good, wonderful God. John 1 verse 4. Gospel of John 1 verse 4. In him was life. Who's the him there? Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when you share Christ with people, it's the light. It's the light that shines in the darkness. It can show them. Can this light be refused? We live in a area where Calvinism pretty much dominates us, don't we? I mean, I don't know how many churches I drive by to get here that teach that irresistible grace, you know. God elected you before the foundation of the world and you're not going to be able to resist him. Well, let's look at that. John 1, since you're right there, John 1 verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1, 19 and 20. That's the right one. No, that's not right. That's John 1, 9 and 10. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So even the world that Jesus came in that day, I mean, he was standing right among them. That was the light of the world, standing right among them. And at the end, they said, crucify him. give us a criminal, give us Barabbas. We don't want this guy, you know. Let's see. Job 24, verse 13. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Okay. Job 24:13. Everybody got it? They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the path thereof. The murderer rising up with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguises his face. In the dark they dig two houses. They go in and robbers, okay? Which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. And for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are of the terrors of the shadow of death. So they like the nighttime, you know. Back in the day, Neil Diamond had a song, Thank the Lord for the Nighttime. Remember that? I guess we know what he was thinking about at that time. Huh? Proverbs 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and the fools hate knowledge? They hate knowledge. I'll tell you. Me and my buddy were on motorcycles yesterday, and my friend Jim loves to hand out tracts. So there we are in our bike. He's got a beard down to here. Hair down to here, you know, and me, I don't look like a typical denominational pastor, probably. And there we are in our cruisers, our motorcycles cruising around. And, there's this guy playing the organ on the street corner in Saugatuck. And we came to him and shared a track with him, and he's like, you just might as well give it to somebody else, he says, because I ain't want nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. And that's who you're, there's a lot of people that are just like, they don't want it, they don't want that. As soon as a little bit of light, they're like, they don't. That's not everybody though. That's not everybody. And he went up to somebody, the other day, he was sitting in his truck. The guy he was approaching was sitting in his truck rolling a big doobie. And they still call them doobies? I don't know. You're gonna tell on yourself if you say, yeah, they do that. And he was rolling a big doob, and my friend gave him a track. He said, I want to give you something. And the guy goes, what? And he gave it to him. He says, it's about the love of God. And he goes, wow. He says, I think I need that, you know. And it turns out he was sitting in his truck, and he had a book with a cross on it. We don't know what it was, you know, but it was a book about the Lord. It had a cross on it. So he was searching. He was searching. Some people are searching. Some people ain't, you know. But it's that light. It's that light of the glorious gospel of Christ that opens their eyes every time. If they believe it. If they believe it. Okay. Where was I? Give me a minute here. Oh, so this light can be refused. I'll go to one. I'll skip some here. Matthew 23, verse 37. This is our Lord talking. Before he goes to the cross, He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, but ye would not." Israel refused him. People today can refuse him. So there goes your irresistible grace right out the window, according to the Word of God. Okay? Well, how does, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How does Satan blind minds today? How does he keep people lost? He does it through the traditions of men. He does it through religion. He does it by keeping them busy. Busy with things of this world. He does it by keeping them full of things of this world. Because if you're full of the things of this world, you're probably not going to have a hunger for something else. You know what I'm saying? He has a course of this world that he wants to put people on and keep them on, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him." So Satan, here's the Brzezinskis. Good morning. So, the gospel is so simple. God loves you. Christ died for your sins. Trust in Him and Him alone. And you're my kid. And Satan comes along and messes it up and adds to that cross. "Oh yeah, but you still got to be water baptized. Oh yeah, but you still got to go to church every Sunday. Oh yeah, but you got to prove it by your life." Should we adorn the gospel of Christ? Yeah, we should. Does that guarantee our salvation? No, it don't. If you're like me, you can mess up big time sometimes. But you know what? You're still saved. You're still saved. You're still one of His because all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, every single one. You cannot add. The Bible says you are complete in Christ. Now, can you add to completeness? Can you be completer? I don't think so. So God gave this freely. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. It's the God of this world. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as his ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So their end is going to be according to their works. Our end is according to my end. All believers' ends are according to Christ's finished work. You know, that's a wonderful thing. So there's some people say, "Well, all sins are forgiven now. Even the lost people are forgiven." It's going around on Facebook and things. And well, if their end is going to be according to their works, how are you going to explain that to me? If you're at the judgment seat of Christ and you're lost, I'm sorry. If you are at the great white throne judgment, if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're saved. If you're at the great white throne judgment, and you will be a lost person, and you will be judged according to your works. You'll be judged according to your sins. So, all sins, God took care of the sins of all the world on the cross. But in order for that to be imputed to your account, you gotta do what? You gotta believe it. You gotta believe it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift is not faith there, the gift is salvation there. Very important. So Satan tries to mess up the simplicity that we have in Christ. Let's go back to Ephesians 1, verse 6. I'm sorry, let's go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Brian can do it, I can do it too. Second Timothy 2, verse 4. So why does Paul pray that they receive the spirit of knowledge and wisdom? All right, if they're already saved. And they already have the spirit of God living in them. We know from Romans 8, verse 9, if any man has not had not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when you trust Christ, you have the spirit of Christ in you. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, he says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who's the truth? John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Paul wants them to know not only who he is, but what he's doing today. Okay? Before I understood right division, I was shown who I was in Christ. I was shown my identity in Christ, which I'm thankful for, because it seems to be that's kind of the way God, you know, if you follow Paul's books, he shows them their identity before he shows them the mystery, you know. And I think some people, God love them, you know, they get so caught up in the details of the doctrine that they forget what that doctrine points to. It points to Jesus Christ. It points to the love that he has for us. Okay? And to know our identity in Christ is a huge issue. To know that we are loved by him completely. And isn't that the thing that Satan always attacks in our lives? Am I the only one? He does. He comes along and says, you ain't worth it. You know? And he's right. I thought, you're right about that, devil. You're right about that. I ain't worth it. But I stand in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my worth. He is my wisdom. He is my salvation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm sorry, Ephesians 1:18. He says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. What does that mean? How are our eyes enlightened? Have you ever read a verse and it was just like the Lord shone a light on it and it was just like, man. I had this friend, Sandy Briggs, and She said to me the other day, she was reading 1 Corinthians 1:5. Let's go there a minute. 1 Corinthians 1:5. Which is kind of like Ephesians 1:18. It says that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. She says, I was so happy. She says, when I saw that, she says, I just wanted to throw confetti all over my house and leave it on the floor and throw away my vacuum so I wouldn't have to pick it up, so I would never forget that. You know, so I would always be reminded of it. You know, I laughed because I get it. You know, we get it. The Spirit of God shows us something, and we're like, wow, that is so cool. That is so cool. And the Spirit inside us kind of like does a little dance. You know, I mean, I don't sound Pentecostal, do I? But I'm saying that we have the Spirit of God living in us, and it's a real thing. It's a real thing, and he enlightens our eyes to show us what who he is and what he's doing, and to understand those verses. Okay, let's see. So why does Paul pray this in Ephesians 1:17? Go back there again. I'll keep something in there. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Why does he pray this? One of the reasons he prays this is the answer to that. Let's go to Colossians 1:9-10. Got a similar passage here. Sister scripture, you see? Colossians 1. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So God says He wants us to get to know Him so we can walk worthy of Him. I mean, you can't please somebody that you don't know if you don't know what they like, you know. If somebody knew me for quite a long time and we talk and everything else, and they decide to give me a gift and they give me Barry Manilow's entire collection of songs, I say, man, you don't know me at all. Now, some of you might be Barry Manilow fans. My apologies. But then, if somebody gave me Dylan's entire collection, I'd say, you know me pretty good. You know, if somebody gave me Andrew Peterson's entire collection, I'd say, you know me pretty good. You know, but Barry Manilow, I'm sorry, man, you don't even know me. You know, and God wants us to get to know Him so we can walk worthy of the calling that He has called us to. Does that make sense? That makes sense to me. I keep losing my place. So how are we filled with the knowledge of His will? Does God sprinkle it down from the balustrade of heaven? Say, here you go. And you wake up one morning and say, I get it. Not that easy, is it? What does God say? He says, study. Show yourself approved. As a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do To get to know the Lord, you need to know who He is. You need to know what He's doing. And you come to, you know, and we come to this book in a humble attitude, saying, "I don't know nothing. I just want to be taught. And the things that I think I know, if they're not right, I want to know they're not right." You know, I change things in my own thinking, but God changes things in my own thinking from time to time. All right. He just wants us to come humbly to Him. He opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. We just come with a humble heart, desiring to know Him. First Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2. Okay. Verse 11 through 13. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. God desires for us to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. We can't trust someone we don't really know. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please Him, for those that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So He wants us to diligently seek Him. Romans 10:17 says, Jason, what did it say? I forgot. Romans 10:17, let's look. For we walk by faith, not by sight, right? No, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by walking in the woods. Hearing by listening to grandpa and grandma. Maybe sometimes, not all the time. Listening to their daddy, Anna. Sometimes, not all the time. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, you get along with the Word of God. Lord, teach me. And He loves to enlighten our eyes to what He's doing today, to who He is. Okay. Let's see. So we can know from His Word what it is that pleases Him, what He loves, what He hates. There's things that God hates today. He doesn't want us to be a part of it. He wants to protect us because He loves us. He wants to shield us from all that stuff. Our brains can only handle so much. As I get older, it can't handle as much as it could 10 years ago. So I don't even watch the news anymore, to be honest with you. Once in a great while, somebody tells me something, you know. But I really can't handle that anymore. So how is it that God's working today? We get to know, God wants us to get to know His wisdom, His will, His infinite love, His almighty power, His faithfulness, His holiness, His righteousness. It kind of reminds me of the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5:22. And in Philippians 4:8-9, you know, Paul says, let's go there a minute. Philippians 4. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Not much good report on the television, huh? whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what he wants us to think about. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Don't we all want that? As believers, we are God is always with us. But sometimes, if you're like me, you don't experience His peace all the time. You know, because our eyes get on other things. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is set upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know, faith is the opposite of fear. So one of the Satan's tactics is fear. You know, and he spreads it through media left and right, doesn't he? Okay. So we spend time in the Word and prayer with Him. We know and to get to know what pleases Him. Now, some might say, well, we are, you know, Ephesians 1:6, go there. Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise I'll start with 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Are we accepted in the Beloved? We are. Thank God for that. That's our standing in Christ. We are already accepted because He has given us His righteousness. He took all our sins upon Himself. And every last one of them. And He gave us His righteousness in return. Now that's the sweetest deal ever. So we are pleased with Him in our standing. When Jesus was baptized and the Spirit came down upon Him, and a voice from heaven, God the Father, said, "Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And if you're in Christ, you are identified with Him. And it's like He looks at you and He says, "You know, my beloved Blake, in whom I am well pleased. You know, my beloved Jacqueline, in whom I am well pleased. My beloved Amy, in whom I am well pleased." Even when Amy messes up bad, you know. and we all do. "My beloved Anna, in whom I am well pleased." That we're loved. And God wants us to walk in that and to rest in that. Okay. But also He wants us to live our lives. There's a standing that we have in Christ, and there's also our state. You know, our state is our walk. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 for an example. There was this preacher a while back, I guess he's still out there, and he said, "There's nothing we can do to please God." Well, I differ with him in a lot of things. Ephesians 2 verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. Am I going too fast through these? Are you keeping up with the 5 minutes? First Thessalonians 2 verse 4. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who trieth our hearts." So can we please God in our walk? Amen. We can please God in our walk. And God, but we have to realize that in me, that is in my flesh, Paul says in Romans 7:18, dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing we can do in our flesh that's going to please God. We please Him by walking step by step, one step at a time, in who we are in Him. He says, you have received me by faith, now walk in faith. Walk in faith one step at a time on who we are in Christ, and let His life flow through us. Does that happen 24/7? Nope. Is it good when it does? It's good when it does. Is it bad when it don't answer? Okay. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I didn't forget about my text, if you're wondering. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Okay. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why, Paul? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, made conformable unto His death. So Paul says, I count all things but loss. And Paul had a high degree in learning. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, wasn't he? Tribe of Benjamin, Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat under the teaching of Gamaliel. And who was the top dog back then? And he knew all the ins and outs of the law. He did. But he counts that all but lost for the simplicity that there is in Christ. You know. In verse 9, I love it. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Our own righteousness, the Bible says, is like what? Filthy what? Filthy rags. We don't have to talk about what that is, and we don't have to talk about what dung is, do we? So Paul says, that's what that stuff is. That's what that stuff is. Let's look more at this. He says, that I may know Him, verse 10, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Did Paul doubt that he was going to be resurrected one day? No, he didn't. He ain't talking about that. He ain't talking about that. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Apprehended is like to really, really grab a hold of it, you know, to seize it. I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before. Those things He left behind, He says, are dung. They're filthy rags. I'm going to leave them all behind. I'm not going to think of all the time I went out there and dragged members of the little flock back to Jerusalem to kill them. I ain't going to think about that, but that's what He did. Say, man, that's what He did. Said He was the chief of sinners. So He says, if by any means, verse 11, I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He wanted to fully realize what that resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ living in him could do. You know, he wanted to, and he's like, I am in Galatians 2:20. Kind of reminds me of that. Go there. Galatians 2:20. Very familiar passage. I'm sure you guys all know it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Our old man, right? Our old man today is dead. He's been crucified. He's dead. Paul says that's, you know, that's, but Christ, the risen Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, in this body of mine, in this sinful, vile, disgusting body of mine, I live how? I live by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He understood Christ's faithfulness to him. That no matter what, that nothing can separate him from the love of God. And as we walk through this world, we realize that the God of all creation that said, "Let there be light," lives in you. Isn't that wild? That's wild. We're walking around with God Almighty living in us. And we're walking around in these earthen vessels, these dirt bags. And we have this treasure in us that we can rely on, that we can allow him to quicken our mortal flesh. That's not talking about the resurrection there. It's another thing. It's to use our members for his glory. All right. So back to Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul is praying that they fully grasp what God is doing today to fulfill his eternal purposes. He prays their spiritual eyes would open to see so they can know some things. Paul is praying that they, and that includes us, will have an appreciation, an apprehension of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit and revelation to the mystery truth. Okay? First Corinthians 2, verse 7. I know all of you here understand the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. All right, we're not part of Israel's program. God set Israel aside back in Acts 7, raised up the Apostle Paul, and gave him used him to give the message of today you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, everybody's on an equal playing field. Okay. First Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He ordained it before the world unto our glory. The Bible defines mystery as a secret. Romans 12, verse 16. Paul says, not to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was what? Kept secret. Was kept secret since the world began. So that God had something in his mind before the world began that he kept secret. Okay? Ephesians 1 verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Ephesians 1 verse 9. So God today, is making known the mystery of His will. He's making known, that yellow part there in the chart is where we're at today. That's where we're living today. And that's been going on for the last 2,000 years. God is not dealing with us under the law performance-based acceptance program. He's not dealing with us under the law program. He's dealing with us under grace. There's a big difference. He dealt with Israel under the law program, and He's going to do that again once we're gone. Once we're raptured out of here, that's going to start again. But this whole mystery program that was not made known, that was kept secret, that was hidden in God, was not made known until He gave it to the Apostle Paul. First Timothy 1 verse 11. I don't want to spend too much time on that because you guys know that. 1 Timothy 1:11. According to the glorious gospel, the gospel we have today is a glorious gospel, which was committed to what? My trust. Same chapter, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, in me first, it's important, in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all the long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe unto life everlasting. So, was Paul the first member of the church, the body of Christ? He was. Was he the first person in all the Bible to be saved? No, he wasn't. But the body of Christ is a unique creation. The Bible calls it the one new man. He calls it the new creation. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away; everything has become new. So God, in the last 2,000 years, is forming the church, the body of Christ. And it's all for His good pleasure. And He has a wonderful future ahead for us. He wants us to know that. It's always, when you're going through a bad time, is it always good to know it ain't going to last forever? Sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it seems like there's no hope. It seems like it's going to last forever, you know. Our life down here is but for a moment. The things that we go through, Paul says, they're light affliction. And this is a guy that 5 times was beaten by the Jews, 40 lashes minus one, so that's 39 lashes each time. They say 40 will kill you. Right, bud? So, 5 times 4, that's a lot. a little under 200 slashes on your back. You know, every time he got in the boat, went down. You know, he was in the deep. He was stoned at Lystra and left for dead. He wasn't stoned like that guy in the truck with the doobie. He was stoned. They threw rocks at him until he was dead. I believe that's when Paul probably went to the third heaven, and the Lord showed him some things. So the things we go through now, God wants to give us a hope. Saying, you know what, I got stuff for you out there I just want you to see it. I want to open your eyes to see it. And so that's what he's praying for here in Ephesians. Quickly, let's go to Colossians 2. Oh no. say, oh no, because I'm running out of time. Colossians 2:2-3. That their hearts may be comforted in being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I was going to talk about the different mysteries, those three different mysteries, but we're not going to. It's another study. So God ordained all this before even the world began. Before the world began, God had a council with the Trinity, and they said, "Let's make man in our own image." And well, if we do that, he's gonna be eternal, because we're eternal. He's gonna have to have a free will, because we got a free will. If he has a free will, he's gonna screw up. How's that gonna work? We can't make robots. How are we gonna fix that? And it was like the second member of the Godhead, the Word. Later the Son of God, it was his title. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll sacrifice myself. I'll come down there. I'll become one of them. I'll take on human flesh, and I'll die the death they deserve. 3 days later, I'll come up from that tomb. I'll defy death. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. So, let's see. Let's go to, I'm going to have to skip a lot here. Ephesians 1, it talks about the one hope of his calling. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling, Ephesians 4, verse 4 says that there's one hope. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. That hope, it is a blessed hope. Titus 2, verse 13. That hope is to be taken up into the air when the Lord Jesus comes back. And to be, that's our blessed hope, is the rapture. And God's going to take us out of here before the cheese hits the fan. Okay. It's not a hope like, I hope it will. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. You know, it's a sure hope. Romans 15, verse 13. I love this verse. Richard Jordan's been doing a whole study on this verse, and I've been just loving it. Romans 15, verse 13. Richard can do a whole study on one verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, like I said, God Almighty lives in you by His Spirit. He lives in you. We have that power to walk in His resurrected life. Okay? He wants us to know that. I'm going through these kind of fast because the clock is ticking away. He wants us to know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, the saints are you a saint? Is Israel a saint? Israel's a saint. They're called saints. Are angels called saints? Sometimes angels are called saints. It's so important to look at the context, okay? Here, the saints, he's talking about the church, the body of Christ, okay? We are His inheritance. So, let's see. Israel too, our inheritance is to be with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. That's going to be where we're going to reside for eternity. Okay? He says you have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Israel, their inheritance, they have an inheritance too, But it's Matthew 5, verse 5. Look at that a minute. The meek shall inherit what? The earth. The meek are going to inherit the earth. Psalm 37. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Okay, there's so many verses in there. You can look at it. Just look at Psalm 37 later on. And under, there's like seven, eight different places in there where it talks about Israel's inheritance being the land and being the earth. The body of Christ's inheritance is in the heavenly places. Acts 20, verse 32. Dave, if I go over a little bit, is that okay? Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes. How does God open people's eyes again with the gospel? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Sorry you forgiven forever, people, but that contradicts what you say. Inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? By faith, which is in me. Okay. Ephesians 1 verse 3, and it's all over the place. Our inheritance is with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Do we have it already? We have it already. 1:14. Back up to 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So the redemption of His purchased possession, when is that going to happen? That's going to happen at the rapture when He takes us out of here before He pours out His wrath on this earth. He's going to take us out of here. So Ephesians 1 verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Okay, so the same power that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and gave Him an immortal body. 1 Timothy 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6, verse 16. Start with 15. Which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light. So Jesus Christ is the only one right now that has immortality. You guys have immortality? Do you have eternal life? Yeah. Do you have immortality? No, you don't. Why? Because Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says that He was the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one. He come out of that grave, and did He have a body? He had a body, and it was a cool body. And he could walk through walls. He could go to the third heaven and back in just like a few minutes. He had an immortal body. So Jesus Christ is the only one that has an immortal body right now. Paul is saying that same body that Christ has, not His same body, but a body fashioned like unto His. Go to Philippians 3, verse 20. Okay. For our conversation, our behavior, okay, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we look for the Antichrist? No. We look for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Do we like to say our bodies are vile? You ever been in a nursing home? I mean, I watched my mommy and daddy die. You know, it's not fun. You know, death is not a good thing. That, you know, it's just not. Jason and Daphne just lost their dog Millie the other day, and you know, that's hard. Death sucks. Death is hard. Our fleshly bodies are. Alex Cruz says they're a house of horrors. A house of horrors. I thought, well, that's good. They're disgusting and they're vile. But God is going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working where He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. So God in the future, it says that He's going to, back to Ephesians, almost done. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, that's that resurrection power that gave Jesus this immortal body that's going to last forever and ever and ever, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So there's the ages to come. All through eternity, God is going to rule and reign over everything. It says, verse 22, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. God one day is going to fill up the whole universe with His glory. And since we are His children, He is the head and we are His body. We're going to be right there with Him in glorified bodies, reigning forever and ever with Him for all eternity. Paul says, I want you to be able to see that. Ephesians 3, that was Paul's first prayer. And I missed a whole lot of stuff, but there's so much in there. It's so rich. Ephesians 3 is Paul's second prayer. The first prayer of Paul that we just went over was an enlightenment for you to see. The second prayer is his empowerment. It's an empowerment prayer for you to really work it out. It says, read it real quick. Ephesians 3, verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Can you beat that? I don't think so. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit. There it is again. In the inner man. All right. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, in God's love, having the knowledge of the love that God has for you. You may be able to comprehend with all saints, all members of the body of Christ, what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I believe that's talking about the mystery program, how deep it is, how wide, that's a whole other thing. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It passes knowledge, it passes your human wisdom. God wants us to give a spiritual understanding so that we know what's going on. He gives us a spirit to understand that. And he says, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's a good place to stop. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time. Thank you for the wonderful future you have for us. Thank you that you live in us and that we are going to be with you forever and ever and reign with you in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.